What a delight to be here with you guys. And Pastor Noel's so excited that I'm here. He left town on Friday. Nothing like a good friend. I can't wait to see you, Brad. I'm leaving as soon as you get here. So it's been great. So if those of you that have heard me before, I apologize that you have to hear me again. And for those that you never have, we're just going to pray that God will just strengthen you and you'll make it through this time, that somehow you'll survive. And as I recall, Prince is here, and we are partying like it's 1999. Say it one more time. All right, so the Lord, I just want to be real with you. Normally when I'm here, I try to be as fake as possible, but I really want to be real with you this time and just try something different. And the Lord really has been dealing with me about learning to rest. And it is so hard to rest. And anybody else know what I'm talking about? And I'm not just talking about taking a nap, okay? And some of you will be doing that in the next 5 minutes. So I'm not just talking about that. But he's been talking to me about really resting in him is the ultimate form of demonstrating how much you trust him, okay? It's the ultimate form of demonstrating that trust. And so when I was on the way over here, I'm like, Lord, you know, would you just tell me what you want me to prepare? And he said, I just want you to trust me. I'm like, okay? And he said, just rest in me. And it was a confirmation when in September, when you guys graciously allowed Pastor Noel and Sharon to come over and celebrate our 20th anniversary at Faith Chapel. They prophesied over us, and they said, the Lord is speaking to us that you guys, Beth and you, you have to learn how to rest in him. The next week we had many of you. Have you heard my friend Gary from Venezuela, missionary Gary? Gary was at our church, and he prophesied over us, and he said, the Lord is saying you need to learn to rest in him. I met a guy for the first time. He goes, I don't know if this will mean anything to you, but I feel like the Lord's saying you need to learn to rest. Anybody else thick-headed around here? It'd take a while for it to finally sink in. And so I really felt like even in seeking the Lord what to bring to you today, he was saying, just rest in me. And that meant don't prepare ahead of time. I'm like, I don't like that because I already look like enough of a moron that I don't want to look like even more of a moron when I stand in front of the nations that are at Liberty Church on RD Street. I don't want to do that. He just said he would give it to me. And so he's already been doing that during worship. And even he woke me up. Now, he tells me to rest, and then he wakes me up at 4 a.m. What kind of a God does that? What, right? He woke me. And he gave me a couple of things this morning that I'm just going to share with you. But first of all, I love Dublin. And you guys seem to get me. You get me better than my own church does, okay? They don't know how you can crack a joke and then prophesy. I mean, I'll just throw out a joke and then and they'll look at you like, did he really just do that? And here you're like, normal, right? Lay hands on the sick and slag your neighbor, right? I mean, it's the way it works around here. So it's marvelous. And we're at Louise's house, Louise and Stephen's house on Friday night, and the presence of the Lord was there, and we had good crack at the same time. And did I say that right? We had good, right, okay, because you don't want to say that wrong. And in the States, you can't say you had good crack at all. You're arrested just like that, and you've got 15 guns pointed at your forehead. It's crazy. Even children carry guns. They're infants. They're in their diapers. It's the craziest place you've ever been. But you guys get it. And we had the presence of the Lord, and we had great laughter and just a wonderful time. And I hope that we have that this morning. But the Lord spoke to me. See, they're running. They're rushing to the altar. And so, and then rushing away from the altar. Go in peace, my brother. So good. There's some things I wanted to talk about, Jim. And now that Mr. Flanagan has left, no. During worship, the Lord spoke to me that he was going to give healing in the area of lungs this morning. And specifically, if you have asthma, if you have emphysema, I'm not a doctor, I'm a pastor, at least I pretend to be. Is it CPD or COPD. Sharon's giving me the look even when she's correcting me. It's COPD. So, thank you, Sharon. My sister. Okay. So if COPD, emphysema, asthma in particular, if you rely on an inhaler, the Lord is going to lift that right now. Right now. So if any one of those issues or something, and if you're like, I've not been diagnosed, but I have shortness of breath, okay? If walking up the stairs to get to the upper room was makes you short of breath, the Lord's going to bring healing to you right now. So just stand if that's you. If any one of those things hit you, just stand, okay? We are family here, okay? Now I want to sing We Are Family. Anybody remember? All right, we're family here. So if you've got somebody that's standing that you love and you want to stretch out a hand to them and just declare with, if you don't love them, just pretend to love them because we all deserve a little love, okay? If you want to lay a hand on someone, all right, you guys know how to do that here. I'd love to have everybody at least have somebody stretching a hand toward them. Listen, the Lord's given, we've got a lady in the back too. Let's not miss her. Let's have somebody stand with her as well. Thank you. All right, we're just going to release healing over you. When the Lord gives a word like this, are you ready for this? The healing happens just as you receive that the Lord gave the word. So even as you've stood, healing is already happening. And so now we're just putting our agreement with it. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, we release healing over your sons and daughters. In Jesus' name, we thank you that you said in your word, we're not only to heal sickness, but we're to cure disease. And so we just say, Holy Spirit of God, we release you to cure disease. COPD is annihilated in the name of Jesus. Emphysema is annihilated in the name of Jesus. Asthma doesn't have the right to live here any longer in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray for full lung function. I pray that lungs will be fully restored. Father, years of damage, maybe even from choices that we made, we ask that you will restore from years of damage, God. Guys, as you're standing, would you just take a deep breath by faith and believe just to breathe it in? Man, just breathe in a deep breath. No more wheezing, no more gasping, no more coughing. Bronchial tubes are cleared in Jesus' name. We release healing in the name of the Lord. Healing in the name of the Lord. Have you know God's word says, freely you've received, freely you give. So we've received the anointing of the Lord. We freely give the anointing of the Lord. Okay? But also, I want you to know, I had asthma for years on inhalers, and somebody made a declaration over me 7 years ago. I took inhaler every morning and every afternoon and every evening. I've not breathed an inhaler one time in 7 years. Not one time. And so I share that to encourage you. The Lord's given me healing of asthma, so I give you healing of asthma in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Another one, as we were singing earlier, the Lord spoke to me, and you might even use this language. I don't know. It's not something that I would say, but my bones are cracking. My bones are speaking to me. They're groaning. They're making noise. I don't know if you know, use that kind of language. But the Lord said that he was ready to take your bones that are groaning, that are cracking, that are speaking, and he wants to turn them into bones that are singing. Okay? They were made to sing, not made to groan. So if you have back pain, if you've got literally in your bones, and maybe you've even described it, you're like, I feel pain in my bones. I feel it in my bones. The Lord, we're going to turn that pain into singing. Okay? And some of you go, well, yeah, I just carried in my big handbag, and I've worn my shoulder. And, man, if you got that much dinero in there, all right, God bless you. And maybe you need to collect the tithe next week since Jimmy can't seem to remember to pull it out of his pocket. until he's in front of all of us, right? It's like, I'm tithing. Yeah, right. He forgot. Okay, so I just want you to picture him in a little swimsuit in that right now. Okay, all right. Now I want you to ask God to cleanse your mind. Join with the Lord. Cleanse my mind. Cleanse my mind. Break that yoke. Okay. All right. How many have pain and you would describe it in your bones? You would use that. Just go ahead and stand. Just stand. Okay. All right. Okay. Listen, we're just going to show how easy this is. Truly. Because he's already here. He's already here. And I'm not here to do a performance or a show, so I hope you're getting to know me already. I just enjoy having a good time. I'm just trying to listen to him. Okay? So, God, I just thank you that you spoke to me that you were going to take bones that creak and groan and crack. You're going to take bones and you're going to make them sing. And even right now, I'm reminded that your word says that your word gives life to our bones. And so we speak the word of the Lord into the bones. Receive life. Receive freedom. Listen, your sons and daughters of God, just, I know sometimes it's weird, but just lay your hand on yourself because you're living in that body of yours and tell your bones to be whole. Just say, I whole, be whole. Bones, I speak to you to be whole, to be pain-free, to sing to the Lord, to be refreshed. In particular, those of you that you feel lower back pain, if you've stood for longer than a minute, we break that in Jesus' name. That back pain is gone. We speak healing to the hips in the name of Jesus. We tell the knees, you are free again. You are liberated again. We curse arthritis in Jesus' name from setting in the joints and trying to hinder us. We curse that. And we just have freedom in our joints again in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, for giving healing to us. Do something you couldn't do or do something that's hard to do. Test it. Move that shoulder. Set down. Stand up. That's where the faith is demonstrated. Are you feeling the difference in your body? You feeling a difference in your body? Can you feel it? Somebody say they're breakdancing? No, we're not breakdancing. We're restored dancing, all right? All right? Move it. Go ahead. You got to move it. Move it. You go. All right, go ahead and move it. Test. Those of you that took a breath earlier, how many of you are feeling more freedom in your lungs? Yes. Anybody else? Come on. Several of us that are, man, do it. Do it by faith. Breathe in. Listen, not only did I quit taking the inhalers by faith before, if I didn't take the inhalers and then I started running, I could end up in the hospital. So you know what I did? I started running. I'm like, I believe that he's healed me, and I started jogging. I mean, let's face it, you don't start running, you start jogging. Started jogging, and I'm like, I am breathing, I am free. Your lungs are free, okay? Your bones are free. And let it be a testimony to you. Let it be a testimony to those that you love. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Or is he, thank you, Father. Okay? Is he your father or your father? Or both? Is he? Okay? All right. I want to talk to you for just a moment about the Greek word pleroma. Somebody immediately began to cry. It's okay. Greek words don't have to be scary. They don't have to be scary. Have you ever heard of the word, have you ever heard that one before, pleroma? It was kind of a discovery. The Lord was speaking to me about fullness. And he said, and you remember the verse in Galatians where it says that he sent his son at the fullness of time. If you've got your Bibles, we didn't put it on the screen. I didn't want to be bound to that. But this is in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5. I could give you a lot of context of Galatians. I'll give you a brief amount just to be fair to the scriptures, but Galatia was not a town. It was a region. There were several towns within that region. So when Paul wrote the church in Galatia, this letter was passed from city to city, different small groups. Small groups are very biblical. How many know most churches start that way? Okay, very biblical. So this letter was passed from group to group. There were a couple of different things going on at the time, and many of you know this. You're either a Jew or you're everybody else. Okay, you're either Jewish or you're a Gentile. And that's just the way that it was viewed. And so Jews were coming to know the Lord, and Gentiles were coming to know the Lord. And the Jews were doing their best to accept the Gentiles, but it was challenging for them. Have you ever grown up with a prejudiced person? They might be prejudiced against a skin color. They might be prejudiced against a gender or whatever. And they accept the Lord, and you see they're trying, but it's really hard for them because they've learned how to be prejudiced. How do you know that prejudice is taught? Kids aren't naturally that way, but it's taught. So by God's grace, may we teach what the kingdom of heaven wants us to teach. So, and one thing that the Jews, they were like, okay, we understand that you're coming into the kingdom and we can accept that, but we really think that you need to be circumcised. Now, can you imagine as a Gentile man, somebody says, hey, you want to accept the kingdom of heaven and receive life? Yes, I do. And now we're going to cut the end off your little fella. How many are going to go, you know what? I'm good. We're fine. This was not in the brochure. Okay, the brochure said freedom, healing, anointing, prosperity, deliverance, not snippy. You know what I'm saying? Okay, so the Jewish men were like, we want to make sure these Gentiles are getting circumcised. And then I'm like, wouldn't you hate to be on that committee? Right? What do you do in the church? I make sure the Gentiles have been circumcised. Come on in. Yep, he's good. You know, where do you go with this? So, how many know the scriptures have a lot of truth and a lot of fun? A lot of fun. So there's this division in the church, and the Jews and the Gentiles are like, we want Jesus, we don't want that. And in the process, the Lord was trying to help the Jews understand that isn't what it's about. You need to walk in the fullness of the kingdom of heaven. So he's talking about that, and in it, he basically says that there's a season that a child doesn't have any more authority in an estate than a slave does. Because until a child hits a certain age, they have no authority. And he used that basically to say the Jews were the children, but they didn't understand who they were, so they had no authority. The Gentiles were the slaves. They didn't have any authority either. But through Christ, God's word says we're all made one. And we're not all made slaves. We're all made sons and daughters of the King. So in Galatians chapter 4, verses 4 and 5, there's a little bit of background, and not so much that it got me in too much trouble. I told Noel when he's gone, I'm going to stir up controversy, and he'll have to fix it when he gets back in town. That's what friends do. They destroy one another's churches. That's what they do, okay? But when the time had fully come, are you there? I'm reading from the NIV. Some of your translations might say literally at the fullness of time, okay? When the time had fully come, or at the fullness of time, I love this, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. And let's go ahead and say sons and daughters. They use sons as a general term, but it's for all of us, sons and daughters. So the Lord was speaking to me about the fullness of time. And this is the verse that he took me to. And I was thinking, you know, he sent Jesus at the right time. Why did Jesus come 2,000 years ago? That's exactly when God wanted to do it. And you've got all these reasons in the natural. The Romans had conquered such a large part of the world. And as ruthless as they were, they had provided safety and travel, which is something that hadn't happened forever. So the Romans had provided a lot of safety and travel, and the gospel goes to Jerusalem, and you can go from Jerusalem to Judea to Samaria to literally to the ends of the earth. You can go to Cappadocia and Ephesus and Thessaloniki. You can go to all the places because the structure was there. And I always thought he came at the right time when the structure was in place so that the gospel could be spread. And I could feel like the Holy Spirit was going, you really don't get it, do you? And so I dug into the Greek word fullness, and it's the word pleroma. Okay, and I've asked our church to memorize it. I don't want them to forget it, because it carries something so powerful. Pleroma was actually a term that was used for those that like to travel by sea. Literally, if you were getting a ship ready to launch out into the Mediterranean Sea. Now remember, where Galatia is, that's where their mindset would have been. So, and they would understand this, right? So you're getting a ship ready and you're going to send it out into the Mediterranean Sea. There are some things that you need to have. You need to have sailors. You're going to have merchants, because you're going to trade and you're going to work with other areas. You're going to have rowers. In particular, pleroma was used for the word where lots of times you would have that group on the lowest deck with the oars in hand that would help to provide the muscle power for the ship. So you need merchants, you need sailors, you need rowers, you need inventory, you need food, you need everything fully stocked and everything prepared. Now catch this. Paul wrote the Galatians and he said, at the pleroma, the Father sent His Son at the, we say, fullness of time, or when the time had fully come. But in the Greek, it's at the pleroma, He sent His Son. They would have understood it. I didn't understand it when I read it, but I need to know, what did it mean to them? Well, what it meant to them was when the ship was fully loaded with everything that was needed, the ship was launched. Now, put that into the imagery of heaven. Jesus was fully empowered, fully loaded with everything that heaven wanted us to have. And when the Father had placed in the Son everything of heaven, He was sent from the shores of heaven. He was launched to the world at the fullness of time, with the fullness of the glory of God, with the fullness of the Holy Spirit, with the empowerment of the Father's will. He came at just the right time to deliver heaven to earth. Isn't that beautiful? There's an imagery in Psalms, I believe it's Psalm chapter 40, and maybe you've read it before, where you read this conversation that goes back and forth. And in that conversation, you hear these words, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. My ears you have opened." It's interesting. Some translations, they don't say "my ears you've opened." That's from Psalm chapter 40, verses 6 through 8, in case you want to look it up later. Some don't say "opened." Some say "pierced." Why would some translations say, "but my ears you have pierced," while others say, "my ears you have opened"? And what we're getting is David is prophesying about a conversation in heaven between the Father and the Son. And the Son is saying to the Father, "Here I am. Here I am. It's written about me in the scroll." How many know that the Word of God prophesied the coming of Jesus? "It's written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. My ears you have opened." Have you ever read about a bondservant? You understand the imagery of a bondservant. You used to use the word "love servant," but that doesn't work in our culture anymore. I don't know if it works here, but in America, you can't say "love servant." It completely goes a different direction now. But here's what would happen. A bondservant, in particular, would be someone that was in debt. And the Jews were to celebrate a year of Sabbath every 7 years. And have you ever heard of the year of Jubilee? That every 50 years they were to cancel all debts. Wouldn't that be a marvelous thing to bring back right now? Anybody have a credit card you'd like to get rid of? You know, it's easy. Just throw it down and walk away. It's more the debt on the credit card, not the card. Never mind. Okay. So Jubilee would be marvelous. By the way, it's the one Jewish celebration that we see in history they never celebrate. Isn't that interesting? Isn't it hard to cancel debts? So much easier to have your debt canceled than it is to cancel it for somebody else, isn't it? I mean, let's just be honest about that, okay? And so the way it was supposed to work, let's say that I was in horrible debt, and I turned to my friend Ken, and I said, "Hey, Ken, you've got a great job. I've heard that the books are all still at Trinity College. people won't take them because they are intimidated by your mass, your structure, your hands, and they just leave it alone. And you've been there for years, and you're making so much money now, you're just laying around in 50 euro bills in your house, all right? And I sound good? You receive that, brother? Okay, all right. So I turn to Ken, and I say, Ken, I'm in a lot of debt, and I'm actually getting ready to go to prison for it. Because in America, do you still have debtor's prison here? Okay, we don't have it anymore either. Now we just, vote in somebody in office that'll take care of it for us. But anyway, I don't know if that ever happens here. But they had debtor's prison. And so I turn to Ken and I say, Ken, would you be willing to pay my debt? And if you'll pay my debt, my family and I will serve you. And the way they were supposed to look at it was, how many years is it until Jubilee? Oh, Jubilee is 30 years from now. And Kim might look at me and say, well, Brad, I'll pay your debt, but that's 30 years of service. Are you really committed to that? And I say, it's better in prison. It's better in prison. He goes, okay, I'll pay your debt. And let's say it was 30 years. Let's say that my wife and I moved into his family as a young family. You realize after 30 years of serving someone out of love, becoming a part of their family, we celebrate Christmas together. We celebrate the holidays. We celebrate the birthdays. You almost become really a part of one another's lives. And at the end of 30 years, Ken comes up to me and he puts his arm around me. And he says, Brad, you're free. And he hands me the deed back to my house and my land, and he says, you're free to go. And I go, wait a second. I've thought about this a lot. I've thought about having my home back. And Ken, we love you guys. Your family. My kids have grown up here. You're great-great-grandpa Ken to them. Let that filter through the room. Okay, all right, we're good. Okay, excuse me. My kids, they just think that we belong together. We don't want to leave. He said, but you're free. And I said, but I don't want to go. Do you know Scripture had a provision for that? Called a bondservant. And Kim would say to me, we want to receive you, but I don't want anyone to think that you serve me because you have to. You have no debt anymore. You're free. Come with me. And we walk over to the house, and we go over to his front door. Little Hobbit village. But over 30 years, I'd built up quite the tolerance to bumping it with my forehead. And I put my earlobe. Sharon just gave me the look. I'm moving on. She's... Yeah. They're neighbors. Oh, my goodness. I know we don't believe channeling is biblical, but I could almost feel the spirit of Beth working through Sharon. It was really unusual. But I put my earlobe to the doorpost, and he grabs an awl. Is that how you say it here? AWL, an awl? And a nail? It's just a nail, Brad. Okay, all right. He grabs a nail, and he puts it up to my earlobe, and he grabs a hammer, and he takes a whack. And he drives that nail into the doorpost. And instantly, I've got a nice gauge. Have you seen the gauges these days? Instantly, I've got a nice gauge. And then he yanks the nail back out. How many know that would probably hurt even worse? And he opens my ear. You know what that means? That means the next day when I'm out in the field, Caroline comes walking by. And she says, you don't have to be there. She knows there is love in this relationship. The community knows there's love in this relationship, and that my family are there because we love them. and they kept us because they love us. We are not obliged. We are in free choice in the way that we demonstrate love to each other. Jesus said in Psalm 40, prophesied by David, Jesus said to his father, here I am. It's written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, O my God. My ear you have pierced open. Can you imagine the Father and the Son in heaven? As the Son steps over to the doorpost of heaven and pulls his robe for the Father to drive the nail in the spirit that literally, after he was incarnate, were driven into his wrists and driven into his hands. And you know when he rose again, he went to Thomas and he said, it's me, look. Look at my hands. Look at my side. Church, this might be too simple, but none of us know how much Jesus loves us. Jesus loves you. It's hard to comprehend that kind of love. It doesn't matter how many men you've been with. It doesn't matter how many women you've been with. It doesn't matter how many times you've stumbled, how many poisons you've put into your body, how many times you've been beaten or times that you've beaten somebody. It doesn't matter. He loves you. And he loves you so much that when he moves in, he doesn't let you stay in the addiction, in the abuse, in the destruction, in the brokenness. He loves you so much that he just moves in and from the inside out begins to do something that none of us could have ever done for ourselves anyway. In Hebrews chapter 1, and I'll end with this. I was told I only had till 1:30. Excuse me. I was told I only have till half past 1. Half past, okay. In Hebrews chapter 1, it says, in the past, sir, I was just kidding. I'm going to stop so you do. Guys, please, come back. Come back. Let's bridge the nations. You don't have to go, okay? All right. I'm an American. I love you. I love your beard. You know, when Noel preaches at our church, nobody ever leaves. They love his accent. They just sit there and gaze at him. You're amazing, Noel. You're amazing. He gets done preaching, 500 people line up just to touch him. And we only have 200 people in the church. I mean, it's incredible the things that happen there. Right? Hebrews chapter 1. It says, Sharon? Okay. It says, in the past, God spoke to our forefathers, not that we had four of them, but the ones before us. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets, at many times and in various ways. Are you there? But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. By his Son. Now, if you read on, it says that the Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. I'm going to say that again. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Do you say representation that way here in Ireland? Is that the way that you say it? Or do you say representation? Representation, okay. I find that lots of times the way that we speak will hinder our own ability to see the meaning of a word. Jesus came to represent. Let me say it this way, in case you're slow. And that would only be the ones from Clondalkin. We understand that. I'm kidding, Caroline. I crossed the line. Let me back up. All right. Never crossed the line. Thankfully, you don't carry guns here. All right. Thanks. Okay. Caroline does. She does have a security badge on her arm, so I want to be careful. All right. Okay. But think about it this way. Jesus came. Thanks that I can be myself with you guys. I just love that. And if you're offended, tell Noel when I leave. Okay, I don't want to know between now and Wednesday. Thursday, call Pastor Noel and have a conversation and say, never again. All right, that's okay. Until June. All right, so July, until July. Jesus came to represent the Father. But how about if I say it this way? He came to present again the Father. Now, I don't know, how many of you were kind of brought up in church? Or a few of you brought up in church? How many of you weren't brought up in church at all? Okay. I love the different, I was brought up in church. And where I was brought up, the Father was scary. The way they preached. I mean, God was going to curse you with boils and hemorrhoids and he loved you, but he kind of hated you at the same time. Okay? That's just the church I grew up in. It was a very, I don't know if you've ever heard of an old-fashioned Pentecostal church. The ladies, I don't know what you would use here for the style, but they call it a beehive hairdo. The holier you were, the taller the do. Okay? It looked like, they looked like an army of Q-tips marching. All right? They didn't wear makeup because makeup was of the devil. Okay? So, and they'd struggle here, ladies, because your eyebrows here are on fleek. All right? Okay? When I think of Ireland, I think of green grass and on fleek eyebrows. I'm friends with some of you on Facebook. I'm like, wow. They are on point today. They went to a wedding. They got eyebrows out to here. All right. Okay. All right. Lips look horrible, but those brows are incredible. All right. Now, you couldn't do that back in the Pentecostal church back in the day. Because you know why? You'd go to hell. You go to hell. If you wore makeup, you went to hell. Ladies, if you ever caught wearing men's pants, because that's how they talked about it. Those are men's pants. And I'm like, my mom never puts on my dad's pants. My dad's rather large. He's on the level. His bubble's in the middle. You know what I mean? And I've never seen my mom wear my dad's pants. Okay? But if a lady was seen wearing slacks or jeans, that's what a man wore, and you'll go to hell. If you sneezed in church, you went to hell. It was a difficult place to be. You would sing songs like, well, never, you want to know the songs that you would sing? You would sing songs, and they all of it emphasized Father mean, Father angry, Father kill everybody, flood the earth. Ah! But Jesus loves you. This I know. For the Bible tells us. Aren't you thankful that such a mean, angry, hateful Father that brings you to this church with the Q-tip army? Aren't you thankful that he sent a son that actually loves you? And then you read Hebrews 1. And it says that Jesus is the exact representation of the Father. Everything, Adele, it's going to be okay. Everything, anytime I say her name, I want to begin to sing. Hello, no, but, all right, so, hello from the other side. Okay, so, isn't that the one she sings? Okay, I'm not real trendy. And it might even be so old now, it's not even trendy anymore. I have no idea. Everything that you love about Jesus, and do you love him? Do you love the way that he heals the broken? And that a bent reed he doesn't break? And that when lepers say unclean, unclean, he says not anymore. Don't you just love that about him? When a woman's caught in adultery, and by the way, I always thought it took two people. But somehow the guy was never discovered. But when she was caught in adultery, the Lord didn't call her an adulteress. said, "Woman, I forgive you. Just leave your life of sin." I mean, everything I love about Jesus, you know what I'm starting to realize? It was a representation of the Father. Because Jesus said, "I don't do anything unless I see my Father do it. I don't say anything unless I hear my Father say it." When Jesus looked at that lady and said, "I don't condemn you, just leave your life of sin," that was the Father. When Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor, you're weary, and I'll give you rest." The Greek word for rest, and I'll close with this, is anapausis. Anapausis. It's where we get the word pause. Did you know it also is where we get the word intermission? And when I think about intermission, I think about a couple of things. I like hockey. I like ice hockey. I don't play it. I can't stand on ice. But I enjoy watching it. And that game is so fast and so physical and so tough that after 20 minutes, they have to have an 18-minute intermission. Because once you've had your chiclets knocked out of your... Chiclets, like a big white gum in the United States. So once your teeth have been knocked out by a puck in the first period, okay, you need a break. When somebody's thrown an elbow and it caught you upside the nose and you've been bleeding on the ice, you need a break. And Jesus looks at us because he knows. How many of you know that God is good and life is hard? Anybody else found that life's been pretty hard? Don't you just need a break sometimes? And he says, "Come unto me. I will give you that break. I'll give you that intermission. I'll give you that rest." And Heavenly Father, I ask that supernaturally today that you would place on and in your people the rest of God, the rest of the Holy Spirit. Just give them that peace. We thank you that Jesus brought absolutely everything at the fullness of time. Pleroma. You were fully loaded with heaven to bring it to us on earth. And you did that out of love to your Father and out of love for us. And so we just say to you, Lord, we receive the fullness of heaven. We receive the gifts of heaven. Maybe even more specifically, we receive Jesus. Is there anybody here today that as of yet in your life you haven't received Jesus? I wouldn't want you to miss the opportunity that today could be your day just to say, "Lord, I want you. I want." It's not about getting the sinner's prayer right. It's not about memorizing all the foundational truths. It's just about knowing that he put his earlobe to the doorpost out of love, and he put his hands to the cross because of his grace. Is there anybody in here you're like, "Yeah, Pastor Brad, I want to receive Jesus"? Just lift up your hand. We don't have to bow our heads and close our eyes and be embarrassed about the greatest thing ever. God bless you. Is there anybody else? You just want to receive Jesus today. The best. Don't stretch right now. I'll call you out. Now's not the time to stretch. All right. Is there anybody else? Today's your day. Yeah, I'm celebrating with you already, ma'am. We are celebrating. This is awesome. Let's all pray this together. Can we? Let's just all say, "Heavenly Father, I receive your love, and his name is Jesus. Jesus, move into my life. I surrender myself to you. Live in me. Live through me. I love you. Thank you for loving me. I confess my need of you, and I receive you." Amen. Amen. Come on, isn't that amazing? He's so good. So good. So good. Amen. Amen. I have about an hour's worth more of material, but I'll go ahead and stop. All right? God bless you guys. Love you. Who am I handing this to? Luis? Jimmy? Yeah? All right.